Okay, we're going to start our daf today is daf tefav. We're going to start toward the top of your Dalet Amabet. I just want to review from Itmar. We saw the statement of Rav Nachman. It was a matter of trying to understand Shmuel's opinion about the Shevach. His whole idea, and we're going to compare it to the Shevach of Kanabal Chov, take the Shevach, but right now we're talking about a Lokech Migazlan. Somebody sells stolen property, which in the end ends up that they didn't sell anything. And they just kind of got money that they then had to return. So since it's money that they then had to return, Rav Nachman says it must be the Shmuel of use this as a loan. It looks like a loan, in which case if you return the Shevach with it, if the guy you sold it to invested money in it, then it's going to look like if you return that money, you're returning Rebbe. So, interest. Therefore, he says, there's no... So Rav Nachman explains Shmuel is saying, even if... You, right, the whole question was, well, what if you put it in the contract that you would pay the Shevach? You still don't have to pay the Shevach in this case, okay? If I have a contract with you, I sell you property, and I write in the contract, I agree that I will pay you Shevach. But it turns out it was stolen property, I don't have to pay you the Shevach. Okay, because it wasn't mine to begin with. In other words, what was I committing to? If there was some issue down the road, I would give you the Shevach. Like, for example, if one of my Baalei Chov came and took the lamb from you, I would give you the Shevach. Then I would actually give you the Shevach. But in a case where it turns out it was stolen property, I never actually sold you anything, then I don't pay you the Shevach. So then we have a question. Etive Ravala Rav Nachman, we started with this yesterday. Okay, we're about almost at the middle. These are all items that their sum is not fixed and will never, they could be ad infinity, you know, they could be, achila pero could be constant, and shevach karko, you know, it could be some huge investment you make in it, right? So all those things, mazoni, shava, banot, we talked about yesterday, you can't take that, minachasim, mishua, badim, mipnei tikkun, o haolam. So what does this sound like? None of these payments can be leaned to property, basically, because the buyer who buys your property, right, he doesn't want you to, like, he can't expect to be paying all the way down the road for all sorts of items that there's no fixed amount for. But what is it inferred from here? The mimashabdehu delo mafkinan. But hami b'nechori mafkinan. But he could take it, so he can't take it from anyone you sold your land to, because it's some unfixed sum. Anyone who's buying land is not going to be able to, you know, bear the burden of some unfixed sum. But it sounds like he can take all these payments directly from the guy, right? So what do you see here? V'katani miyat l'shevach karkaot. It says shevach karkaot, the guy can, right? Now, just remember, you can take it from nechasim mishuabadim, but it means you can take shevach karkaot from someone who let's say, so what's the case? My lab lokech migazlan. The first assumption is, who's taking the Shevach Karkaot here from the Bnei Chorin, right? It must be someone, that's who would be deserving of Shevach, right? It would be someone who the land got taken away from him. Why did the land get taken away? Oh, because it was stolen property that you sold him. So that's the first assumption. In which case, what do you see here? You do get Shevach as the Lokach. And what did we say before? If you buy stolen property and you invest in it and then the robber comes back, yeah, I'm sorry, the guy who was robbed comes back and takes the property. You can't, right? He could take the Shevach with it. You can't demand from the Shevach. So, what do we see here? So, isn't it a Lokech Migazlan? Now the Gemara answers, lo bebal chov. Okay, if you want to follow the back and forth, we're up to, also I organized it on the sheet today. So, no, it's a bal chov case, and a bal chov can be goveh from, can take the Shevach. So, but there's something that doesn't jive. If we want to say that this Mishnah is Baal Chov, Iba Baal Chov, Emaresha, Emotin Lachila Pera. Iba Baal Chov, Mi Le Pere. If you're a Baal Chov and you come and take some lien property because someone owed you money and they never paid you back. So the assumption here is he'll take it with the Shevach, with the Pera, right? And then the guy who invested it will go and demand the money back, right? And say, I want to get, you know, give me back the Shevach and give me back the payroll. But, and he'll go to the guy who he, right, 1 second. Iba Baal Chov, right, we want to take it from, 1 second, who'd be taking the money? right, from the seller, from the guy who sold him the property, he'll say, look, I lost all this money on it. Give me that money back. I think he would get it from here, right? B'Baal Chav, 1 second.
Compensation for ripe produce that was seized by
But who would he get it from? The Baal Chav or from the... Tell the Baal Chav or so, what?
Compensation of the purchaser by the creditor.
By the creditor, by the Baal Chav. Okay. So, Iba Baal Chav mi lepere, v'hamar Shmuel, Baal Chav govet ha-shevach, shevach in, aval peirot lo. What do you see here? The Baal Chav can never even think to take the peirot. He doesn't have rights to peirot, so there's no peirot payment you'd be getting back. Because Shmuel says the Baal Chav can take the land with the shevach, but he can't take peirot, because it says he can take the shevach, which implies shevach in peirot lo. So how could you possibly say that that Mishnah means Baal Chav when there's no such thing of peirot by Baal Chav? So what do they say? Ela pshita, but goes of an exile, so it must be goes of an exile, which means it's a question on Shmuel, because it's saying you can take the shevach karkot, and Shmuel said you can't. So now they say, right, umi dereisha, begoz al v'nigzal, seifanami, begoz al v'nigzal. So since the first words of achila perot must be by goz al v'nigzal, then also shevach karko must be by goz al v'nigzal. So now the Gemara, in which case it's a question on Shmuel. So now the Gemara says, no, midi iria, hakadita, hakadita. You could say that the shevach karko is relating dafka to the Baal Chav case, which would answer up our question. And the perot is relating to the goes of an exile. In other words, just because these are all together in one sentence doesn't mean they're talking about the same situation, which is a little difficult to answer, but anyway. Now they're going to say, no, but still we have a problem, because v'halo tanehachi, doesn't it say like this? L'shevach karkaot ketzad. Hare shegazal sadeh mechaviro. Remember, we're trying to say shevach karkaot can only be in a Baal Chav case, because otherwise, remember Shmuel said there is no shevach karkaot by a gozel u'nigzal. But look at this case. It says, l'shevach karkaot ketzad in the Braita. Hare shegazal sadeh mechaviro. Now, this is a Braita that's explaining that Mishnah. Okay? And it says, what's the case of shevach karkaot? So they say, somebody stole a field. V'hare hi yotzeit mitachat yado. And this generally means that the court claims he doesn't have rights to it. As the court goes and demands the field from the buyer to return to the guy who was robbed. I made a mistake. Right now, we're only talking about two people. We're talking about, I stole a field. So, the court takes the field away from me, the robber. Okay? Kishuhu goveh takerim minachasim mishuabadim, v'shevach goveh minachasim minachorim. Now, wait a minute. Who's goveh what? Right? This doesn't make any sense. So, hey, Chidami, the Gemara says, what must be the case? Ilema kedikatani, like we thought, there was just two people. It's between the gazlan and the nigzal. So, gazlan miman gave, who's the gazlan demanding money from, right? Clearly, we're talking about here that someone's demanding money lost from somewhere. So, therefore, what must be the case? Elalav, even though it didn't say so, it must be kigon shegazal sadeh mechaveru mecharal la'acher v'shbicha. It must be the case we're talking about. That goes over right that the lokach migazlan, that he sold it, and then when the buyer wants to demand his money back, so this is what it says, right? Goveh takeren from nechasim b'shuabedim, and his shevach he can get from nechasim b'necharin. What does that show? Right. It shows, first of all, it shows way back to the beginning that this disagrees with Shmuel, and it goes against the reading that the Shevach Karkaot related to the Baal Chav, because this explains that the Shevach Karkaot is a Gozel u'Nigzal case. So Amale, Lav Terutze Kamitaratzta, Taritz Nami B'Baal Chav. Now he says, wait a minute. If already there's a problem in the text of this Braita, because it doesn't make any sense according to Peshat, and you're going to correct it, why correct it and say it's Gozel u'Nigzal? Just correct it and say it has something to do with the Gozel and it's a Baal Chav. Okay, now obviously you could see why one it makes more sense over the other, but again, because we're struggling with Shmuel, so we're answering it up and saying it must be a Baal Chav, in which case, again, that resolves our issue. Tashma. Here's another source. Okay, we're now on, that was the first koshi on Shmuel. Okay, within that koshi, there was like an additional braita that was Makshel Shmuel, but really they were bringing that to show that this Mishnah couldn't be referring to Baal Chav. In the end, they answer it. Now we're going to have another question on Shmuel. We're up to koshi shtayim on Shmuel. Tashma, la'achila perot ketzad. So now, here's a braita on the achila perot part. So he steals a field, and the field, right, the court takes it back. Keshehu gove, again, we have this weird case, right? Keshehu gove, who's claiming what? Gove et hakerem min nechasim meshuabadim, uper gove min nechasim b'nei chorin. So again, hechidami. Ilem ha-kedikatani gazlan, kedikatani, like it sounds like the pshat that there's just a gazlan and an exile. So again, gazlan miman gave. Why is the gazlan demanding money? El la'av, it must be, kigon shegazal sadeh mechavero, mechara la'acher v'hishbicha. Right? It must be that case, in which case, again, what do you see? He gets the shevach. Okay, it must be he added money, he gets the shevach. So now, we're going to have three potential answers here. Amar Rava. Hacha b'mayaskinan, kigon shegazal sadeh mechavero mele'a perot, ve'achalat haperot, ve'chafar baborot shichinu ma'arot. Okay, what was the case? It wasn't a case where he invested money and got payrot, and that's what we're talking about. What are the payrot he's demanding? The payrot are the payrot that what happened? He stole the field that it was full of payrot. Okay, it had payrot in it. He ate the payrot, and then he destroyed the land, so to speak. Okay, he devalued the land because he basically dug up these barot shechinu ma'arot. So now, who's coming to demand what? Ban nigzal ligvot keren. What's the problem here? The problem is, if we're talking about the nigzal, who's taking the keren, which is the only person who would be taking the keren here, we have a problem. What's the problem? The problem is that a nigzal would never take the keren. What would he always take? The land itself. He never gets value. Remember what we said about karka is not, right? There's no gzela by karka, really. It never switches ownership. So the owner just gets back his own land. So why is he paying him the value of land here? It doesn't make any sense. So what are we going to say? It must be, we're going to see two different possible cases where there was a difference in value, or we're going to see maybe the land wasn't there at all. Either the land's not there anymore, or the land was devalued, in which case, what does it mean he's paying him the keren? It means if I devalue the land, so I have to now give him the land and the difference. So the keren is the difference in the value. Okay, let's say the land was worth 100, now it's only worth 80. So there has to be a case where there's payrot, and there has to be a case where there's a keren. So ban nigza ligvot keren. So when he goes to take that pchat, that depreciation that I caused, govem minechasim meshuabadim, he can take that even from lien property. Fine. Ban nigza ligvot payrot. And when he goes to take the payrot that I ate when I stole the field, I stole it full of payrot. There's a bit of an alternate explanation there too, but we won't get into it. Govem minechasim b'nei chorin. Okay, so the payrot he can only take from free property and not from land property. Rav Bar Rav Huna Amar, he's going to give a different case. Kigon shenitalu ha-mesikin, it's a case where I don't even have the property anymore because what happened? Non-Jewish thugs came and seized the property, and it has to be a case where I'd actually be responsible. Remember, we saw that if I said, oh, look, by the way, here's land you could come take, then I'm responsible. If they came and took from everybody in the city, then I'm not responsible, you know, and there's obviously some things in between. But anyway, ban nigzal ligvot keren. If so, then again, the nigzal comes. Now we have a case. Again, we were trying to find a case where the nigzal has to come take keren. So why does he take the keren? Because the land's not there anymore. I don't have the land. So now he comes to demand back the value of the land. So govei minechasim meshuabadim, ban nigzal ligvot peirot, govei minechasim b'nei chorin. So when the nigzal then comes to get the peirot, he takes it from the nechasim b'nei chorin. Okay, Rava. Lo amarke rabba bar Rav Huna. Okay, now we have to say, why didn't each one hold like the other? Okay, why didn't the first guy say that it was the Mesikin? And why didn't the second guy say that it was he chafar barot shechinu ma'arot? So, what does he say? Rava, the first guy, right, who says that it was he did the barot shechinu ma'arot, what did he say? He doesn't say like Rav Bar Rav Huna. Each of them are going to darshan these words because harehi yotza mitachat yado. What is harehi yotza mitachat yado? So I explained it the simple way the way Rav explains it, which is bidina mashma. It sounds like bidin, in other words, the court made him return the land. That's what it means, right? It's yotza mitachat yado. He made him return the land, which means that he has to return the land, which would not be a case of misikim where the land's not even there. Okay? B'rava barav huna lo amar k'rava, because harei yotze mitachat yado, be'ena mashma. Yotze mitachat yado sounds like
and it's worth the same as it was worth in the beginning. He didn't devalue the land. Here he just lost the land. Okay, but he pays him back the value of the land is exactly as it was. So he says, Harei yotza mitach yado, sounds like, and it's exactly the way it was before, as opposed to the first guy who said he depreciated the value of the land. Okay. Third answer. Rav Ashi amar litzdadin katane. Okay, so now, until now, we're trying to assume that this is a case of that, right, so there was some case where the land depreciated, that's the karen that he's paying, or the land isn't there anymore, and the peirot are also because he ate peirot. Remember, he stole it when it was full of peirot. Rav Ashi is going to say litzdadin katane. It's two different, split the issues a little bit, okay? Here we go. Kigon shegazal sadeh mechavero malei'a peirot. He stole it full of peirot. Ve'achal et ha-peirot. Then he ate the fruits. Then, after he ate the fruits, machar et ha-sadeh. So now what do we have? Ba lokeach ligvot keren, grove minachasim meshuabadim. Ba nigzal ligvot peirot, grove minachasim b'nei chorin. What do we do here? We brought this as a question for Shmuel, remember? Because Shmuel says a lokeach migazlan doesn't get peirot. So the first two explanations talk about the fact that there is no lokeach migazlan here. This is between the gazlan and the nigzal. This has nothing to do with a lokeach migazlan case. What are the peirot? The peirot are the peirot that he stole. Okay? That's there. The third option is to say that there's two different things going on here. There's two different payments. There were peirot when he stole it, but there was also a lokeach migazlan, because the lokeach migazlan, remember, resolves the issue. Why are we talking about a karen here? So Rava and Rav Baruch Huna gave some way where there's also karen by a gazlan and nigzal. But the easier way is to say there's a lokeach migazlan case, and this lokeach demanding the karen from the guy we bought the property from, right? He wants his money back. Because he said, you stole my stolen property. Now the guy took my land. Now I'm out for money. Give me my money back. So, but he can't get payroll, remember, because it's going to look like rebeat. So what do they say? The payroll is something else. The payroll or the payroll that the Gazlan himself ate before he sold the property. He stole it with payroll. He ate the payroll. Then he sold the land. So the Karen payment they're discussing here that you can get from the Chasim Meshuabadim is the lokach from the seller, who's the robber. The peirot is the guy who was robbed from the robber. Okay, they're two different issues. And that answers the question also. Okay, now we're going to have a question on Rava and Rava Bar Rav Huna. Bein l'Rava, bein l'Rava Bar Rav Huna, milva al pehu. Rava and Rava Bar Rav Huna are talking about a case where a guy stole a field. And now, the guy wants his stuff back. Now, how can he possibly be gover from the Chasim Meshuabadim? There's no shtar here. What do we always say? When there's a shtar, so the property's leaned, right? What's the idea of a shtar? A shtar means that when you go to buy land and you want to check into, right, what this guy's credit rating is. Does he have loans out? Does he have other things? The only way you're going to find out is if there's documents. Now, if he stole property, you'll have no way of knowing that. So you didn't know when you bought the land that it was a lien property to this theft case, right? So therefore, how could you say that he can demand the Karen from the Chasim Meshuabadim, right? What did we say? We said if the robber, let's say, gets his property taken away by the thugs. So what happens? When the guy who was robbed goes to get the value of his land back, he can take it from the Chasim Meshuabadim. How can he possibly do that? It's like a milvah alpeh. There's no document to saying, I stole your property. So how can you possibly make other people responsible for it, right? All the people that the robber sold land to, now the guy who was robbed can go take the property from them? That can't possibly be. So what are the answer? When can you take from the Chasim Meshuabadim? Kishamah bedim v'hadar zabin. It was after he was convicted of being a robber. Once he's convicted of being a robber, then it's like a milva bichtav. Okay? And then people should know about it. You should check out in the courts, make sure, before you go buy from someone that they're not a thief. Ihachi peirot nami. So then, if he was already put bedin and was chai of both the karen and the peirot that he ate, so shouldn't you be allowed to be gover all of that from nechasim meshuabadim? And what did it say? The peirot you can only be go over from the Chasa B'dei Chorin. So what do they answer? It's a case, Kshama B'din ala Karen, V'lo Ama B'din ala Perot. They took him to court on the Karen, but they didn't take him to court on the Perot. So now they say, Umay Paska. So why would they take him to Din on one and not the other? Like, why didn't they why did they distinguish in this Braita about a particular case like that? They say, no, because Stama Demilta, Kitava Inish, Karna Tava Beresha. It's typical that if you're going to go and go claim stolen property, first you're going to deal with the land. Once you win the case about the land, then you can start claiming the payroll. Okay, so therefore it's reasonable to think that that was the case. Okay, that was question number two on Shmuel. Now we're going to have question number three on Shmuel. B'savar Shmuel lokech migazan leit leshvacha? Does he really hold this? V'hamar amar leshmuel le Rav Chinin abar Shilat, Im lechuchtov shufr shivcha upere. He told this guy was a sofer that when you write your shtarot, you should always check with people. Remember, we learned this about the shufra, the shivcha, and the pere, right? Are you including it or are you not including it? So b'mai, I b'balchov mi le pere. This can't possibly be a balchov case because for sure the balchov cannot demand pere. V'harmar Shmuel, how do we know this? Because Shmuel said the balchov goveh tashevach, which implies shevach in aval pere lo. El alav lokach migazlan. It must be a lokach migazlan. And what do you see here? That he can get the shevach, right? So I'm Rabbi Yosef, hacha b'mayaskinan, kegon sheyesh lo karka. Now all of a sudden we're going to learn that until now we think the Shmuel says he can never get the shevach. Now what do we say? Why can't he get the shevach, right? A lokach migazlan? Because it looks like ribit. If the guy has land, the robber who sold him the land, if he has land himself, one second. Yesh lo karka. Right. Then yesh lo karka. Right. The gazlan. Okay. If he has karka, then it doesn't anymore look like ribit. Okay. So now they're going to say, because what's going to happen? So now it's a question. It's debatable whether it means, if he has karka, that means that when the lokeach comes and says, I want my money back, he can give him land. In which case, if he gives him land with the shevach, that's not going to look like ribit. Ribit is only when money transpires. Or is it because he has land, then it already doesn't look like ribit anymore because he could, in theory, pay from the land. Okay, so now we're going to say, Amar le Abaye. So now Abaye questions this psak of Rav Yosef. You see how this is very radical because all of a sudden he's now saying, well, it's not every case of a lokach migazlan. If the gazlan has karka, then it's fine. So Amar le Abaye, v'chi mutar lelavot se'aba se'aba m'kom she'esh lo karka? Abaye says, by the way, we have this halacha. It's actually a very interesting halacha. I can't lend you a se'aba flour, or it's a measurement, a flour, for you to pay me back a measurement of flour. Why? Because the price of flour fluctuates. And you could be paying it back to me at a future point. Then what do you pay me back? Do you pay me back the exact same se'aba? But then you might be rebeat because it might be worth more. So therefore, you cannot loan a se'ah of flour to get back a se'ah of flour. Okay? Which is crazy, right? Because you're in the end, I was thinking about this. I borrowed chocolate chips from my sister-in-law one day, and it was labeled 14 shekel, 14.50. And then I bought another one in a different store. It was 10 shekel. And I paid back, I was thinking this is a little unfair. I bought mine for 4.5 shekel. That's the exact same product, exact same label,
You gave her shekel?
No, I gave her the bag because I didn't think about this. Shekel right. Also. Well, I hadn't learned this. So anyway, right, so it's a question. So he says you can't do that. And because not only can you not do it, but you're going to say, but in other words, is it mutar to do it just because the guy has karka? All of a sudden, you're going to allow it? So amalei, hatam halva, hachazvine. There's one thing, we have to remember. This is a sale case, and we're worried that it looks like ribit. But that's different from a halva case that looks like ribit. In other words, ribit is generally in a halva case. Sometimes we could say, this was a sale, but it looks like it was a loan. So when it just looks like it was a loan, we're not going to go agadekach. We're going to say karkas, potters it. But in a loan case, we're not going to say that, if you have karka, it works, because it's really a loan. We're going to be more machmir in a case where it was actually a loan. What?
Why don't we say that from the beginning? It doesn't look like
Why don't we just say because we do think it looks like we beat. The issue is, if you have karka, though, yes, because that's the point. There really was no land that transpired. Okay. But now if I have land, if I'm the robber and I have land and I could pay you back with land, then it will no longer look like ribi because I'm paying you back with land. Okay? But if I lend you a se'ah b'se'ah, just because I have land shouldn't resolve the issue. So Amar le, now Ikad Amar, we're going to have a bit of a different version of what transpired between Rav Yosef and Abaye. Amar Rav Yosef, ha'cha b'mayaskinan kigon shekanu miyado. He didn't say it's kigon sheyesh lo karka. Okay? He said, and this is debatable exactly what the issue with Rav Yosef said. He said it was where they did a kinyan in the beginning about the shepach. So what does that mean? It means that now when I go to repay it, it doesn't look like ribit. Because from the very beginning, when we did the sale, I made a kinyan with you that I would give you the shevach if there was a problem somewhere. So therefore, it was as if it happened earlier, and it doesn't look like now when I'm repaying you back, this now looks like a loan, right? Then it doesn't look like ribit. So Amar Le Abaye, v'chi mutar le levot se'ah b'se'ah b'kom shekanu miyado. But that wouldn't resolve things in a se'ah b'se'ah case. He says, well, that's because Amar Le Hatam Hava v'hachas vine. Okay, again, we're going to distinguish between something that started out as a halva versus something that started out as a sale, even though it eventually looked like a halva. Okay, gufa. Now we're going to go into the statement of Shmuel. Amar Shmuel, balchov gove et hashevach. Okay, so this was until now we were dealing with the issue of Shmuel saying, right, if you sell your field to a friend and it turns out it wasn't yours, you get the ma'ot, but you can't get the shevach. Now, when it comes to a balchov, he says, balchov gove et hashevach. Okay, if you want to follow on the sheet, we're toward the bottom now. Okay, so now we're going to bring a chizuk for what he says. Amar Rava, teida shekach katuv lo mocher lelokech. We can prove what he's saying from generally what goes on when somebody sells property. What does he say? Ana ikum ve'eshrei. This sounds, by the way, very much like a ketuba. Okay, ana ikum ve'eshrei va'adke va'amari gzvine ilun. Okay, let's stop for a minute and translate. I am going to be mekayem and clarify, and edke is zake, like purify, v'amarik, and I will make it pure and right, zvine ilun. I'm going to make this sale look perfect, okay? Make it totally perfect, meaning I'm going to cover every kind of possible problem in the future. Inun, the land, v'amalehon, and any kind of work you do to the land, v'shvachehon, and any shevach you do to the land. V'ikum kadamach, okay, and it will be yours. Vitzave zvine denan v'kabel alohi. Okay, now the buyer is now going to, you know, be ma'asher this. Amar le Rav Chiya bar Avi le Rava. So right, this is what he's saying. Here you see that he can guarantee, what do you notice? The shevach was in here. So here you see that the Baal Chov can demand the shevach. He can take the shevach. What's the point? If I sell property to you and I say, I promise you I'll give you the shevach back, what does that mean? That someone could take the shevach from you. Mm-hmm. So it means the Baal Chov can take the shevach. So now, Amar le Rav Chiya bar Avi le Rava. Ela me'ata, according to this, Matana deloktiv lehachi, hachinami delotarif shvacha. What about a gift? If I give you a gift, we don't normally write this in the shtar of a gift. So if I give you a gift, are you saying because it's not written, that means that he can't take the shevach away from the matana? So Amar le'in, he says, yeah, it's true. If I gave you a gift and a baal chov of mine comes and takes it away from you, he can't take the shevach. So he says that's like, you know, reverse logic. Shouldn't you think that a sale would be stronger, that it should protect you, that he won't take away your investment in the sale? Whereas a gift, you know, all the more so, if he could take it away from a mecher, he could take it away from a matana. No, actually, a mecher is stronger. Why is a mecher stronger? So now the mefreshim say like this. In a mecher, there's a chrayut. So therefore, once there's achrayut, so we allow the Baal Chov to take the shevach. But in a gift, where there's no achrayut, right? If I give you a gift and then it gets taken away from a Baal Chov, I don't have to pay you back. I gave you a gift. It was nice that I did it. You had the lamb for a little while. Now you lost it. But because of that, if they're going to take it away, we allow them to take it away, but we don't allow them to take away the shevach. They have to pay you back the shevach. I'm Rav Nachman. Here's another proof for Shmuel about the Baal Chov gove et hashevach. I'm going to bring a brayta that supports Shmuel, but Huna and his friends explain it some other way. Okay, this is going to be the exact flip of what we did last time.
So
So what do you see here? Someone sells a field, right? And when he's goveh, the assumption is we're talking about a bal chov. This is the opposite as last time. We kept saying it was a lokeach migatlan. Now we're going to say, oh, it's a bal chov. And what do you see here? There's shevach, right? Shevach goveh menechaz menecharin. So what do you see? You can be goveh the shevach. Must be a bal chov kiss. But huna b'chavrin, mokim la b'mile achrine, b'lokeach migatlan. But they explain it that it's a lokeach migatlan case. It has nothing to do with this case. That's because they disagree with him about that there's no shevach in a lokeach migatlan case. This is like the absolute, the mirror image of the previous sugya. Tanya idach. Here's another braita. Okay, this braita is going to be a question on Shmuel. Okay, and for this we're going to use the chart. I made a chart on the next page. Hamocher sadeh l'chaveiro v'hishbicha uba balcho v'tarfa. Somebody sells a field to his friend and it goes up in value. You know, he invests in it. Now the balcho comes and takes away the field. Keshehu goveh tashevach, as keshehu goveh, this is how he gets his money back. Im hashevach yoter ala yitziah, notel tashevach mibala karka, v'yitziah mibala chov. Okay, let's start with the chart. It's valued at 100 to start with. The investment, he invests 50 in it. The current value now goes up to 160 because he invested 50, but, you know, sometimes you invest, but the value is 160 now. So what does the buyer now demand back? And as the guy took all the land, including the investment, so now he claims the 50 of his hotza'ot from the creditor, okay, and 10 from the owner, okay? One second. Now, the creditor and the owner, I used the wrong terms. He gets 10 from, right, notel et hashevach mibal hakarka, right, the guy, right, sorry, it is right. Right, the owner of the land, I'm the one who sold it to him. So he gets the extra value from me, but the money he invested it, he gets from the guy who took it, right? What happened? My creditor came and took the land away, right, from the guy I sold it to. So he says, hey, I invested 50 into that, so give me 50 back. So the guy has to give him 50 back, but he doesn't have to give him the extra 10. The extra 10 he gets from me who sold him the land. Okay. But if the investment was greater than what it caused the property to be valued at, right now he invested 50, but he didn't do a very good job, and now the property is only worth 140. So then what happens? Then he can only demand 40 from the bal chov. He can't even get his whole investment back. That was his fault. He made a mess, right? He wasn't so smart about it. But he gets all 40 of them from the bal chov. V'hashmuel v'may mokim la. What's going to be the case here? So what do you see? The bal chov takes the land with the shevach, right? So I belokach migazlan kashereisha. If we're going to say it's a lokach migazlan case, well, then it's difficult, the first section, because how can he get back anything from, right? He shouldn't get any shevach. He shouldn't have taken any shevach. The resha, kasher resha, damer shmuel lokach migazan late le shvacha, right? There is no shevach. V'ibe bal chov, kasher resha v'seifa. And if you're going to say it's a bal chov case, both the resha and the seifa are complicated. Damer shmuel bal chov goveh et hashevach. What did Shmuel say? The bal chov can take the shevach, which means what? That he shouldn't be having to pay back the shevach. He's allowed to take the shevach, right? That's what we said. The bal chov can take the land, including the shevach. And here it says the bal chov has to give back the shevach. So, ibayt ema belokach migazlan. You could say it's a lokach migazlan, in which case, kigon sheyesh lo karka yinami b'shkano miyado, depending on which nusach of Rav Yosef you used. Remember, while we said on the one hand that Shmuel holds there's no shevach, according to Rav Yosef, there were exceptional cases where if he had karka or kano miyado. So you could say this whole thing is a lokach migazlan, and he does take the shevach because it's a case where there was yesh lo karka or kano miyado. And that's why the owner will have to give back the extra money. And it doesn't look like ribit. Remember, that was our whole issue. Or, ibayt ema b'bal chov. Or you could say it's a bal chov case. We're in the last chart on the page now that I put. The lo kashya. Kan, now all of a sudden we're going to talk about different kinds of shevach. Kan b'shevach hamigel ektefayim. V'kan b'shevach she'eno migel ektefayim. Now there's two different types of shevach. There's shevach that when the guy takes back the land, the shevach is already there. In other words, it's noticeable. The payrot have grown. They're ripe already. They're almost ready to be picked. That's shevach hamigel ektefayim. That kind of stuff, the Baal Chov can't take. He has to pay you back the value of. That was the Braita. But when Shmuel says the Baal Chov can take the Shevach, what was he talking about? Shevach she'ino megilah tefayim. You planted stuff, but you don't see anything yet. There's nothing noticeable. Well, then he's just taking land. It's true, you put money into it, but tough luck. That's the kind of Shevach he gets. So now they say, so according to this, okay, remember, Shmuel said the Baal Chov gober ta Shevach. But according to this, Shmuel says you only get the Shevach if it's Shevach she'eino megilah tefayim. But if it's Shevach that's megilah tefayim and it's already noticeable, then he can't get the Shevach. So now that's what they're assuming Shmuel is saying, according to this explanation. That would explain the Braita, why the Baal Chov has to pay back the guy the Hotza'ot. According to now, we've been saying he doesn't have to pay the Hotza'ot. Now we're saying, that's only, he has to pay him the Hotza'ot when the Hotza'ot are already there, right? They're already, the fruits are already grown. Then he has to give him back. So now they say, v'hamasim b'chol yom, but wait, we see every day in Shmuel's court, v'kamag b'shmuel afilu b'shevach ha'migei l'ktefayim. Even when the parrot or mamash grown and they're about to be harvested, by the way, why is it megiel l'ktefayim? Because it could go on your shoulders. You can cut it and take it with you. So he says, Shmuel even allows Baal Echov to take those kind of parrot and doesn't make them return. So you can't answer that answer about this bright. So what do they say? Lo kasha, ha de masik be kashir ara v'shvacha, ha de lo masik be ela kashir ara diyav le shvache umesalik le. There's a difference between... Until now, we've assumed that when we're talking about a Baal Chov, what are we talking about? The Baal Chov took owe him 100 shekel. I sold 100 shekels worth of land. He goes back to take the land. He takes the 100 shekels worth of land, which is now worth 150. And he gets to keep the 150. And now they're going to say no. When the case was just Kashir Ara... 1 second. Delo Masik Be'ela Kashir Ara Diyavle... Right, sorry, the first case. Demasik bekshir ara vishvacha, right? That's a case where the land plus the shevach was worth the value of the loan. Let's say the loan was 150 shekel. Now, when he goes to take it, why does he get the shevach? Because he gets the whole 150, because that's what he's owed. Normally, you would think the property is leaned and he can only take 100 shekel from this land, and he'd have to take someone else's land for 50 shekel. But no, the halacha is he could take, now that the land was worth 100, but now it's worth 150, since the land was leaned, he can take the shevach with it. He doesn't have to say, right, I can only take 100, I'm giving you back your shevach, and I'll go get 50 from somebody else. But, delo masik bei ela kashir ara, then, diyavle shvachu masalik lei. In other words, if he was only owed 100, that's the case where the Braita says you have to give him back his 50 shekel. So now they're going to say, wait a minute. Hanicha, this last thing that you can take, that you can give him back his 50 shekel, 1 second, that you can take, right after, 1 second. This all works. Lamanda amari. Okay, now we're going to see that there's two sides to a different machloket. We saw this in Ketubo, that if, let's say I sold you land, and the land had a lien on it, and comes my Baal Chov, and he goes to take the land from you. Let's say you have cash on hand. Can you say to him, I want to give you cash instead? I'm going to give you the 100 shekel that Michelle owes, and leave me alone. So there's a machloket about whether he could do that, or whether the land is lien, then the guy gets the land. Okay, remember, people always wanted land. Okay, so the question is, who has the upper hand here? The lokeach or the Baal Chov? So, according to what we said before, what did we say? If the land is worth 150, then the Baal Chov can take it all, right? If his loan was for 150, he's allowed to take the whole thing. He gets the upper hand. So that all works if we say, "I'i lezuze lelokeach lo matzi misalik le Baal Chov." Shapir. That if the guy has money, I knew I was getting confused. It's the second part. If he only owes 100, then the lokeach can basically get his 50 shekel back. So that all works if we say that I lezuze le lokeach lo matze misalik le Baal Chov. Oh, 1 second. Sorry. I lezuze le lokeach. If the guy has... Oh, sorry. No. It's the opposite. It's the first case. The first case is showing, or really either case. No, it's... Okay. Sorry. I was trying to figure this out right before class. I got confused by it. Now I think I have it. The second case is saying that he can take the land, right? And then just return him... He can take all 150, even if he's not owed 150, right? And then he just returns him the value of the shevach. Now, what could the alternative be? What would you say otherwise would be the better option for the lokeach? Just take 100 shekels worth of this land and leave me some of the land that I invested in. Okay? So therefore, they're going to say, this only works, saying that the Baal Chov has first dibs and he can take all the land and just return the money. That's only if you say that if the eat lezuzi lelokech, if the guy had money to pay back, lo matze misalek le Baal Chov. He's not allowed to pay him back in cash. Okay? He has to give him the land. Shows the Baal Chov as the upper hand. Ela lamanda amar ki eat lezuzi lelokech, matze misalek le Baal Chov. If the lokech had money, he could kick the Baal Chov off the land. Neimale, again here, he should say to him, ilu hava lezuzi, hava misalkinach, bikula ara. If I had the money, I would have been able to. You wouldn't have taken any of this land. So hashta delet lizuze, havle garba de ara be ara shir shivcha. That's give me, let me have some of this land, including the shevach I did. Take only 2/3 of my property instead of the whole property. Okay, so what's the answer? Hacha b'mayas kinan, kigon sha'aseo apotiki, damarle lo yeh lecha peron elamizil. Now we're going to see there's a difference between when you put that land aside and say, this land, remember, normally you just say, I'm giving you a chrayut, I'll give you whatever land. But if I say, when I take out the loan, I'm giving you this piece of property to be gove, then the Baal Chov has dibs to the entire property. Okay? But if I just say, you can have any of my land, then he can only take the 100 out of the, right? He can only take 2/3 of the property. That's going to be the difference. Okay, this next part is much simpler. What if we have a case now where I'm selling you property and you realize that I'm selling you stolen property and you bought it anyway? I'm a Rav. Mo'ot yeshlo. Remember the last machloket? Rav said mo'ot yeshlo, shevach yeshlo. And Shmuel said mo'ot yeshlo, shevach einlo. Here Rav says mo'ot yeshlo, but shevach einlo. Now Rav jumps one down, right? He says you get the mo'ot, but you don't get the shevach. Shmuel amar afilu mo'ot einlo. You can't even get back your money. If you knew you were buying stolen property, can't get your money back. But my kamif, okay, what's the root of their machloket? Rav Savar Yodea Adam Yodea Shakarka Ainlo, Vigamar Venatan Lashum Pikadon. He knew that he wasn't getting land. What was he really doing then? If you were giving me money for property that you knew was stolen, you were just giving me the money so I would watch over the money and eventually return it to you. Okay? It was like you were giving me the, it was almost like putting your money in a bank. You're giving me to watch your money. So then, v'neim alei l'shum pikadon. If that's the case, you should have said, I'm giving it to you as a pikadon, not I'm giving you this to buy this stolen land, pretending you didn't think it was stolen. Savar lo makabel. Maybe you thought that the guy was not going to watch, want to take responsibility for watching your money. So you said, well, he's willing to take my money right now, and I know it's stolen. So I know what I'm basically doing is, I'll leave the money there. When I find out for sure it's stolen, I'll go get my money back, right? So, and he was tricking the other guy. Everyone was tricking the other guy, really, right? Because he said, if I say pikadon, he's going to get all nervous. Say, I don't want to watch your money. I don't want to take responsibility. Ushmuel savar, adam yodea shakarka einlo. He knows also, he didn't, right? Both of them know that they're not really getting this karka. It's not really theirs. Bigamar v'natan l'shamatana. So then why are we giving the money if you knew you weren't getting anything? Must be, you're giving him a gift. Okay? V'nemale l'shamatana. So why don't you just say you're giving the guy a gift? Ksifalu milta, right? People don't like getting gifts all the time. They'll say, oh, no, 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 no. Okay. So now they're going to say, v'ha plige be'chadazimna. Didn't they already have this machloka in a different area? Okay, this we learned. De'itmar ha'makadesh et achoto. If you marry you betroth your sister, which is not allowed, ein kiddushin tofsim, and everybody knows that. So Rav amar ma'ot chozrin. Rav says you get your money back. Ushmuel amar ma'ot matana. It's a matana. Rav amar ma'ot chozrin because adam yodesh ein kiddushin tofsim b'achoto. And therefore, why was he giving the money? It must be gamar v'natan l'shem pikadon. He was giving her the money to watch the money. Again, v'nemalei l'shem pikadon. Ah, several l'makav l'minei. She wasn't going to take responsibility. Ushmuel amar ma'ot matana because adam yodesh ein kiddushin tofsim b'achoto v'gamar v'natan l'shem matana. He must have been giving it as a gift to his sister. V'nemalei l'shem matana. Why didn't he say it? Because ksifa l'milta, she wouldn't want to take a gift. So now the question is, why did you need, if it says it there, why do you need to say the machloket in two places? Tzricha. De'i et ma bahat, it just said it there, you might have thought, bahat kamar Rav, de lo av de'in she diyavet, sorry, in our case, you might have thought that here Rav said, de lo av de'in she diyavet matanot l'nechray. People generally don't give gifts to strangers, right? I was selling you some land, who are you to me that I would give you a gift? Who am I to you that you would give me a gift? But when it's your sister, you can assume he must have just been giving his sister money as a gift. And Yidmar Bahachan, if you just had it by the sister case, you would say, maybe only there, Bahachamar Shmuel, that it's a matana. Aval Baha, where it's a stranger, right? Ema modele l'rav. Tzricha. Okay. Tov, we'll stop here. You'll finish up. Then at the end, they're just going to get to basically, there's a bit of a discussion about this case, and then they're going to paskin halacha in some of the cases that we saw. In other words, do we paskin like Shmuel? Do we paskin like Rav? What do we hold in those cases? Okay. So,